You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.
So I'm here with Chris Shoup. If you could tell me a bit about yourself, Chris, and what you do there.
I'm working for UNICEF as a consultant. I've been doing that for 4 years now. Okay. And my main focus area is young people and media. My main focus area is Europe and Central Asia because I'm working for the regional office for UNICEF in Geneva, based in Germany. So you can see I'm always online, always checking trends with young people, or I'm out doing workshops with young people, which I do quite a lot on video and on all sorts of journalism training.
Okay, and then we met through the Magic Network. So if you, for my listeners, could you give us a flavor of what the Magic Network is? And I know that it's changing recently, so if you could tell us what's happening with the developments there.
Okay, well, the Magic Network is sort of my baby, but an adopted baby. I'm not the one who created the whole thing. Magic is an acronym, and it stands for Media and Good Ideas by, with, and what does it stand for? It stands for media activities, not media. Media activities and good ideas by, with, and for children.
Right.
And it was created about 5 years ago after the Oslo Challenge, which was a meeting of media experts who were talking about articles in the Convention on the Rights of the Child that deal with media and with the access to media of young people and the right to express themselves. So this Oslo Challenge was a document that goes out to parents, teachers, to the children themselves, also to governments and to media professionals, that lines out what can be done to support young people in the media. And as a result of this meeting, the Norwegian government gave some funding to UNICEF to come up with a website that deals with all these issues and leads people in the right direction. This website was created, and then there was nobody to take care of it and to monitor what's going on and what kind of developments are featured on the website. And then my project started here in Europe and Central Asia, the Young People's Media Network, and we kind of adopted the website, and I've been the one updating the Magic website and the Magic email list for the last 3 years.
Okay.
Right now we have more than 600 people on the email list from all sorts of countries, and it's a really good exchange that keeps you up to date with developments around young people and media.
Definitely. And what's going to happen with it now? Because I know there's some plans to integrate it into the current UNICEF site. So could you talk about that, please?
Yeah, sure. Well, we have the Voices of Youth website, which is a discussion forum for young people where they can discuss all sorts of issues. And we have a media board there as well, but that was a bit... it was a bit stagnant and nothing really happened on it. And then people saw that the Magic website and the Magic email list was really up in the air and things were happening there. So now we're trying to integrate Magic into Voices of Youth to have a Voices of Youth media Magic site where we carry these discussions from the Magic list over to this board, including more young people, because Magic is sort of a mixture of a young people's email list, but a lot of professionals and NGO people are on it. And we really want to bring this much closer to young people and have them integrated in the whole discussion.
Okay. Now, you've been doing that for 3 years now, and I find it a rich source of anything related to youth media. But obviously, you've been doing it for a long time. What are the major trends that you have picked out of that kind of aggregating services?
Well, the major trend, one of the major trends or facts, basically, is that young people are always the first to pick up new technologies. When it doesn't make the headlines anymore when young people do something with media that is not absolutely outstanding. We had this example a couple of weeks ago of this 79-year-old man, I think he was from England, who was doing his own videos on YouTube. And that makes the headlines now if somebody who is old does that. If young people do that, nobody really pays much attention to it anymore unless it's a very outstanding and very innovative project. So it gets harder and harder for young people to be heard in the media because everybody thinks, well, they can do it. So you have to have a good mixture of technology and a message to really make the headlines with what you do.
Okay.
I'm a bit worried about this whole YouTube and MySpace thing. It's good, of course, that people get out there and publish their own media. But there's so much published every day, so many things. I think there might just be too many players in the game, too many things to see, that the individual voices are not really well represented.
So how do you see that developing over time? Do you just see that it will get just more noise, but less signal? Or do you see actually some sort of fracturing and more niche groups developing over time?
Well, niche groups are developing everywhere. But niche groups hardly ever make any big changes in the world. And it's very, very hard nowadays to come up with something big. We're with this whole integration of magic into Voices of Youth, we're trying to change things around because Voices of Youth is a global forum and there's a lot going on, but we are trying to make change on the community level where you really need the change, where you can make a change, and we're trying to go from the big level down to the communities while a lot of other people are still trying to take things from a community level to the big level, which is even harder to do, I think.
Okay, that's really interesting. So you're based in Europe, and you say you're focused in Europe and Asia, was it, I think?
It's Europe and Central Asia. Central Asia being the five stands, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, and so on.
Okay.
They are part of the region that is kind of administered, let's say, by the regional UNICEF office in Geneva.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's basically everything from Greenland to Kazakhstan, and I've almost been to all of these countries, believe it or not, and it's a very interesting region. I mean, Europe is so, there are so many different cultures, there are so many different people, religions, languages, everything. But whenever I go to a workshop working with young people from different countries, it becomes obvious that media and the work with technology is something that they all have in common, and it's kind of a language that they speak. I mean, everybody knows about YouTube. You see stuff from Kazakhstan and Greenland, let's take these examples again, on YouTube, and you see that these that the internet has really been a step forward in communication between people from different countries.
Totally.
And technology and the English language, that is something that combines everybody.
Well, I was going to ask you what differences you see across these regions, but you're actually coming up with what similarities are there. Do you see like the internet and technology almost democratizing the access to the wider world then with young people, or do you see regional differences?
There's definitely regional differences. We can see that when we do workshops and we give... when we do workshops with the 1 minutes, this film project where young people produce their 1 minute videos, different countries and different regions pick up different topics. If you do something in England, for example, quite a few kids will come up with the superstar idea and the idol shows and how they want to become a star. If you do something in the Baltics, you get very creative and very abstract videos because the kids are so into arts. If you do something on the Balkans, you have at least 2 or 3 out of 20 videos on suicide because the kids are really introverted and they think a lot about themselves, about life in general.
Wow.
But then also, you were asking about access and democracy and so on. It's still, especially in Eastern Europe, it still is an issue of rich and poor because the poorer people or people in more remote parts of the countries, they don't have access to the internet.
Okay.
So the better the X is for the rich, the bigger the gap between the rich and the poor, also when it comes to knowledge and being connected to the outside world. So with all the good things that the internet has brought, there's still a lot of concerns, especially because those people who cannot afford the internet or don't have technical access to it, they will fall further behind.
Definitely. Okay, man. Well, I just want to thank you for your time today and talking to Media Snackers. We're coming up to the 10-minute mark, so I'll wrap it up there. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.